Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The London Improv Live Show podcast is part of Podnose, the UK's leading independent entertainment podcasting network. For episode archives of the London Improv Live Show and all of the shows on the network, visit us at www.podnose.com. You can also follow us on Twitter via @Podnose or send us an email via admin@podnose.com.
It's funny all the time. Robotic guys, super nice. L.I.L. London Improv Live.
What's up? Welcome to the Lil Show, London Improv, live with me, myself, and me, Talal Karkouti. I am happy to be here, even though I'm very hungry and malnourished today, so I'm drinking myself a nourishment, hoping it does what it says on the tin, quite literally. I've never had one of these. It tastes like a chocolate mixed with some refined sand. I'm enjoying it. It's filling, at the very least. But yeah, does what it says on the tin. I remember that. What was that? Runciton Nails? Does what it says on the tin.
Yeah, good Runciton, as glue. Quick good. Stain. Wood stain.
No nails needed. No, Ron wood seal. Stain. It would seal. Does what it
Ron
says
seal,
on
seal, wood stain. That's what it's called.
Ron seal, wood stain.
Other brands are available.
That's like, it sounds like a country and western singer. My name's Ron Seal.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing Ron Seal with the Woodstain Band.
Ha ha ha, thanks for coming out tonight. I'm going to sing some songs about my upbringing. I'm very tough upbringing. I was born in a box with 17 brothers and sisters. My mama used to be a prize boxer, and my father used to be a punching bag. And it was tough watching him get beat down. And dad, I brought a song about it. Oh, here it is. All right, here we go. Well, mama was a prize boxer, and I always wanted to say, mama, won't you send some of your fists my way? Leave old daddy alone. He ain't done nothing wrong, except for those times he cheated on you and went to the bar all night and didn't come back till far in the afternoon the following day. Hey, mama, mama, throw your fists my way. Thank you very much. Those noises there were provided by the fantastic Ed Farga and Brendan Way.
Hello.
Hello, guys. This is us, just us three today. No co-hosts. Sorry, Alex and Luke, you weren't invited because this is for podcast players and we are the three players of podcasting here in the studio.
Yes, us three and only us three.
We are the three. How can we put it?
We are the three most prominent podcasters in London.
No, we're not. We're not. Well, what? Fucking FA aren't even trying. They're already, with five episodes of fucked up, they've already become that. Have they? Or Richard Herring's still rocking it?
Well, no, I mean, there's all kinds of podcasts going on. I mean, in terms of like our little improv circle, yeah, there's FA are doing podcasts and Destination is great. And there's a whole bunch of podcasts in the UK London improv scene now, which is awesome. And yeah, we are lucky enough to be three members of that community. It's great.
Yeah. And but I consider myself one of the punk renegades of UK podcasting. What about your what does your crown say on it, Ed?
My crown says the middle of the road podcast king.
No, you're quite expansive, man. You've set up a network. You have multiple podcasts under your belt.
I'm not sure it counts as a network, really. It's more of it's a website, a sort of a correlation, a collaboration of podcasts.
It's a podcast universe.
Exactly, like Marvel.
Yeah,
yeah. I've got a podcast universe.
Yeah, you have.
You are the earwolf of our circle.
Yeah, it's true. Well, so, are you like the mainstream?
you're probably like the sellout, but what's a good spin on a sellout? Because you've done it in a good way.
He's not sold
no,
out.
No, but you've not sold
out.
He's
not out. Got sponsors.
Okay, I'll say what the good spin is. He's he tries very hard, works very hard, and has been successful at building something.
Working class hero. So which is one phrase that has never been used for me before.
Mm. Middle class hero.
Middle class hero.
Of podcasting. There we go. We've got your crown. Brendan, you write for the amazing Drunk Dead Detective podcast.
Dead Drunk Detective. Sorry, for the branding of my podcast network, I have to specify it's called Dead Drunk Detective.
Thank you very much. listeners of the podcast will know that I do slip up my words. It's nothing personal. Dead Drunk. Yes?
Yeah. Dead Drunk Detective. It's a three-word title.
It's the elevator pitch within the title.
Well, this is, Jules Munns and Rihanna Vivian had a group called Sitting in a Tin Can. And I always call it Sitting in a Tin Cup, even to their faces, every time they've been on the show. So,
turning them from space-based improv into golf-based improv.
Yeah, that was kind of what ended up
happening. Sorry, I'm cutting into your time, bro.
Yes, yeah, come on, man. Go on, Brendan. What's your crown say on it?
Oh, puns and structures ripped off Radio 4.
Okay. Okay. So we have to think of a pun for that, I guess.
Young pun start.
Dead Drunk Detective is about a zombie who is a private eye.
Yeah.
And an alcoholic.
An alcoholic. And he lives
he is
in
dead.
A world
he is
of...
drunk. And he's a dead drunk.
And he's a detective. Oh, I get it. And he lives in a world populated with monsters of legend. And they all either participate in crimes or have been victims of crimes. And
yeah, basically, what Universal is doing now with The Mummy and Frankenstein, they're ripping us off.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got there a year before them. I mean, if you don't count the original run, like that was like 100 years ago.
Yeah, but those weren't in the same universe. They're creating a cinematic universe in which The Mummy and Jekyll and Hyde and Bride of Frankenstein are all in the same world. And I'm sorry, I got there beforehand with a far superior cast.
I suppose there was also League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, which Alan Moore wrote in sort of 1990. 1980 something. Anyway,
my lawyers have advised me to say I don't know what that is.
Who your lawyers have been provided by the network, I presume.
It's Egg and Ed and Wig.
Yeah. Also, but we call him Egg because it's Ed and Wig.
Yeah, it's your lawyer called Egg.
Lawrence Egg.
Yeah. Who's here with us? Isn't that right, Lawrence?
Hello. Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm a bit nervous. I've not been on radio before.
Well, I'm glad you can make it, Lawrence, because our next segment is a law-based segment.
Oh, that's my career.
Yeah, it is. So we started it last week. It's a brand new segment. It's like it's a trial. We do a kind of a judge, like it's Judge Judy, like televised trial kind of thing. But I'm the judge. I'm called Judge Mo.
Okay.
And do you have any like kind of maybe after the bit, after the segment, maybe we'll get your feedback on how accurate that was to how trial court proceedings go.
Okay, well, I'll make some notes and I'll get back to you after the segment.
Thanks,
okay.
Lawrence Egg, because I just want to improve this show every time. You know, I want to keep getting better all the time.
By making it legally...
legally sound
accurate.
And tight.
Yeah. You know, true to real life. You know, we don't like to, you know, delve into the world of fantasy too much on this show. We like to keep it real. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Judge Mo. That's right, it's time for Judge Mo. I'm Judge Mo. This is the portion of the show where we run a trial. A trial right here in K2K Radio Studios. I, Judge Mo, will be presiding over this trial where I have two claimants who will be coming in to make a case over their right for the ownership of a mystery item. The mystery item shall be revealed shortly. But first, let's meet our claimants, if you'd like to introduce yourselves.
Hello there, my name is John Conowatt.
Hello, John.
My name is John Conowatt. I am a computer scientist based over in California, specifically Silicon Valley, and I'm here to claim this item.
Welcome, John.
Here you go. There you go. Oh, scratch your boy in the ears. Sorry,
excuse me. Hi, yep. Yes, you're in court right now. If you could please introduce yourself to the room.
Sorry, down, girl, down. I'm Gerald Brown, and I am a shepherd.
Okay, John and Gerald, thank you for coming today. You're both here, of course, of your own. You've both volunteered to be here because you both believe you have full rights to this item, which I hold in front of me, and you think that, and there's only one of these, and you think that you should own it because you will make the most use of it. This is, of course, the item is, of course, a chocolate-flavoured condom, which expires in July of 2017. I'm very curious as to see what you both would do with this item and why you think you should own it over not just the other person here, but anyone else in the world. So I would like to open the floor for your opening statements, please. John Connawatt. Please, your opening statement.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I would like to draw your attention, please, to the item itself. Please notice it is a prophylactic in a silver wrapper, flavored in with cocoa and other such things, made of latex and other plastic matters. Now, I would like you to understand that I do not desire this item to deny my fellow brother a chance at having such a prophylactic. However, for my research, for my development in the Silicon Valley, I have made my claim. You see, a prophylactic such as this demonstrates a dexterity that is rare in plastic products. And unfortunately, the manufacturer has been destroyed, which means that there are no other prophylactics such as this. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, for my next project, which is a satellite-operated canine companion, I need the flexibility and the organic material that is represented by this chocolate-flavored condom.
Mm-hmm. And what will you be actually doing with the condom?
I am going to be taking this condom and wiring up and covering from head to toe, redeveloping it and multiplying until eventually we have ourselves a silicon house pet that we can put on the market, make $1 million and improve our world so that we can stop enslaving other house pets.
Oh, I see. Okay, I'm still a bit murky on this, but we'll get more on this later. Let's just go to, Gerald's opening statement, yep. Please, Gerald.
Was that really one that statement? That was amazing.
you're impressed by that, were you?
Yeah, I don't know any of those fancy words.
Oh, well, please, be yourself. There's no pressure here. He is a computer scientist, of course. His path in life has been completely different to yours. So have no shame in yourself. You're a great person and you're here. State your case. Please, be proud. Tell us why you think you deserve this chocolate-flavoured condom. You may talk.
I would like to eat it. Times on the farm are scarce. And I hear condoms don't have any calories, so it'd be nice to get a sweet treat and essentially chew it like gum and suck all the flavor out until I'm able to start killing my sheep and selling their meat.
Wait, you're going to eat it?
Yes, sir, I am. Okay, I'm simple folk, and we don't have your complicated food like quiches and... you know, beef stew. So, yeah, we're just happy to keep our mouths occupied.
I'm a little stunned by this, Gerald Brown. Well, why do you think then, as someone who simply just wants to eat the chocolate-flavoured condom or chew on it, like you said, like a flavoured gum until the flavour's gone?
Yes, sir.
Why do you think that's more worthy a cause than of the development of a scientific endeavour that might save the lives of millions of animals around the world?
Well, computer scientists not an endangered species, whereas men of the earth and soil who know how to charm animals and keep them alive, they're a dying breed, so if I don't get the condom, I'm gonna die. With all my knowledge passed on by my daddy, my great-granddaddy, and my great-great-granddaddy is gonna die with me.
Your response to that?
My response to that, I would like to bring your attention to an old proverb. You give a man a fish and he is fed for one day. You teach a man to fish, he can feed himself for his entire lifetime. Mm. Let me tell you this much, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. If you give this man this chocolate-flavored prophylactic, he will eat it. And you know what? If you give a man a chocolate prophylactic, he will eat it. If you teach a man, or rather if you allow a man to develop an entire race of artificially intelligent house pets, he can save a generation of real-life house pets.
However, I do see the point. I was actually quite moved by your last statement, Gerald, that you were saying that you're an endangered species, men of the earth, men who work with animals, with the earth. And it seems to be like an act of defiance to eat a silicon product such as a rubber Johnny. It's an act of defiance of nature against science, and well, quite that's a symbolic
that's
one at that.
That's because I don't believe in science.
Oh, you don't?
Nope.
So what are your feelings towards John Conaway's, Conawatt's a claim here for this condom? If you're a man, if you don't believe in science, what are your thoughts against the dog project?
I think human dogs are fine. They're smart enough. Like Dolly hit down. She already, with minimal teaching, is knows how to run around some sheep. You don't need a robot to teach you that.
Well, sir, if you don't mind my cutting in, you called that creature a human dog. There is nothing human about that dog. That is a canine animal.
How dare you? She's like family to me.
Well, I'm not surprised. And I'm not surprised indeed that you are not a man of science, because I can tell you this much. You are neither a man of science nor intelligence, ooh, if you believe that is the case. I don't even know if you've ever tried to eat a plastic product, let alone a prophylactic. You will have problems, sir.
I did not say I was going to eat it. I said I was going to chew on it until the flavor's gone. At no point did I invoke swallowing.
That ain't even going to give you sustenance, man. You're not even going to get close. You're going to have a chocolate flavor on your tongue. And what? And then what?
Then I'm going to start killing the sheep and selling their meat and be able to fight for food.
Moderator, are you making sense of this?
He's insulting your intelligence, Gerald.
Yeah, is that libel?
I don't know, but have you not anything...
What do you mean you don't know? Aren't you a judge?
I mean... Yeah, no. It's not, but do you not want to defend your brain?
I may not have book smarts, but I got common land smarts. I know how to stay in the woods, and which bear is it good for eating?
Bears are not good for eating, I'll be honest to you. Bear meat is poisonous to the human being.
I said berries, not bears.
Oh, berries.
Why on earth would I eat a bear?
I don't know, I thought it was a weird thing to say. But plus, I mean, don't get me wrong, if you try and go one-on-one with a bear, you're probably going to go, that ain't going to be good. I may just be a computer scientist. I'm not a man of the great outdoors.
Okay, I want to conclude this shortly. However, I don't feel like Gerald is having a fair trial here, because as you stated, John, his intelligence is lacking. And you are sitting there with, I'm guessing, some sort of PhD or doctorate or at least an MA in computer science.
I'll be honest, I inherited my company from my father, and I've been flying by the seat of my pants this entire time. Did I say that out loud?
Oh, well, either way, I wanted to just to do your closing statements for you. I wanted, Gerald, I hope you don't mind, but I thought maybe a better person to give your closing statement might be your lawyer, Lawrence Egg, perhaps.
Yep, sure.
He's sitting
absolutely
right there.
Yeah.
Mr. Egg, would you mind giving a closing statement, please, for Gerald?
Yes. Hello. Okay. Sorry, I was not prepared for this. Now, listen, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I think you can see that when you look at this man, you see no sinister agenda in this man. He is a man of simple wants and needs, but he is the salt of the earth that has brought industry and agriculture to this country since its inception. And really, the least you owe this man is for him to have food that he enjoys, whatever his choice. And we are about freedom of choice in this country.
Amen.
All right, John Conaway, your closing statements?
Well, he may be the salt of the earth, but I am the future of this planet. I am a man that has inherited his company, but I will be taking that country into the stratosphere. I want to take that condom and I want to turn it into a new wiring system so that we can create life. Life itself, artificial life, but no more legitimate than you or I. And I will be a god to them. I will be your lord and savior as I bring a new underclass, allowing you to get paid and allow ourselves to have a new slave of dog robots.
Okay, got a bit egomaniacal there at the end.
That's pronounced egomaniacal, sir.
Yeah, fuck you. All right, I have taken on board both of your statements and your cases. Very interesting case here. And as much as I am a supporter and believer in science and scientific development, and I'm very interested in the production of robotic creatures, be they animal or humanoid, however, there's just something kind of touching and sweet about Gerald here. He's the end of a dying breed, roaming the fields with a bunch of sheep. Like, who does that anymore? And so I'll be sad to see that industry go when it inevitably does, because soon we're going to have robots herding our sheep around, you know. So in the meantime, I would like to watch a man stand in a field chewing on a chocolate condom. So I hereby present to you, Gerald, Gerald, your chocolate condom. Congratulations, you
Thank
have won.
You kindly.
That
Whoa.
Has been Judge Mo.
Hmm.
I'm going to give it about 5 seconds before that man chokes to death, just so you know.
You're listening to London Improv Live.
That's right. That's right, you're listening to London Improv Live. All right, let's get ready for the next segment. We'll listen to a quick tune while we do that. Here's Wave of Mutilation by Pixies. How about that, boys?
Yeah.
Love that song.
All right. Wait, Lawrence Egg. What did you think of all that?
Oh, yeah, sorry. I suddenly got called into the trial, so I didn't get to make a lot of notes. I thought it was fairly pissy sad. There was no evidence or witnesses other testimony of any kind. It was basically a statement, an argument, and a verdict. But other than that, fairly accurate to court proceedings, especially in the United States.
Thank you very much, Lawrence, for that. All right, I'll work on that. Maybe we'll get some... witnesses would be cool. That would be fun. Character witnesses. Okay, next time. All right, see you in a bit with Newsish. We'll be back in a bit with Newsish. That's right, it's time for Newsish, the portion of the show where we take a news story from the news, then we talk about that news story from the news, and then we do some improv based on what we talked about based on that news story from the news. And this week I have this viral granny. Have you heard of the hair drying granny? The hair dryer granny. Granny with the hair dryer. You guys heard of this lady?
Absolutely not.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, furious granny stops speeding cars with her hair dryer. Jean Brooks was tired of cars racing up and down the road in front of her house. When the police did nothing, she decided to take matters into her own hands with a hairdryer. This is in England. I'm reading this off an American web page, but this was in Northern England. Hopefully the location will come up. The resourceful old granny simply stood on her lawn and pointed her hairdryer at oncoming traffic. Surprisingly, nearly all the motorists assumed it was a speed detector and started to slow down. She was pretending it was a speed gun.
Yeah, I got that. Yeah.
The problem with the traffic was that it was mental. Kids with what I like to call sewing machines on wheels or quad bikes and mothers were driving around at 50 or 60 miles per hour because they were late to school.
Did you say sewing machines on wheels?
Yeah, that's what she's calling mopeds, you know, I guess.
In what way are they a sewing machine?
Or no, I know what she's talking about. The little hover boards. Because you know the sewing machine has a pedal that you can put up and down. That looks like a hoverboard, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But I've never seen one going at 50 or 60 miles an hour.
Not without setting on fire.
Wait, what did she say? She had sewing machines on wheels, and what was the other one? There was another analogy.
She goes, the problem with the traffic was that it was mental. Kids with what I like to call sewing machines on wheels or quad bikes and mothers were driving around at around 50
whoa,
or
whoa,
60
mothers
miles per
is
hour.
Not a mode of transportation.
Riding around on mothers. Come on, Mum, I'm late for school. I thought I'd get my hairdryer, stand by the gate, and follow them up the road with it. So they must have thought I was a nutter. Not everyone was pleased, and more than one driver pulled over to confront her. A guy built like a toilet door stopped. And this woman's language is incredible.
She's got a great cadence, great sort of like vocabulary.
That's how they all speak in the North, guys. Get out a bit.
And got out of his car and said, "What are you doing?" She recalled. I said, "What, this? My hairdryer?" He was clearly surprised and never said a word. No one scares me. The only thing I'm afraid of is fire, and I'm a smoker.
She even talks like Dirty Harry.
Wow. Dirty Granny?
It finishes by saying, neighbours agree, Dirty Granny. you should be asking yourself one question. Is this air dryer on ultra hot setting or ultra low heat setting or on cold? In all the confusion, I've forgot myself. So I guess you're wondering. You should be wondering, rather. Do you feel lucky? Punk.
And then she blew them away.
Yeah. It's her neighbours agree. It's made a tremendous difference, said neighbour Ashley Mays. No quad bikes, no fast traffic, no towing machine on wheels, no mothers.
That push in the north.
And all thanks to a hairdryer, which is amazing. I'm going to put up a yellow box on a pole to look like a speed box after seeing how big an impact it can have. And there you go. There she is. That's there we go. Sorry. But there she is, guys.
It's literally just a black hairdryer. It doesn't even look like one of those sort of white or grey speed guns. It's literally like a black vanilla. What is it? I can't even remember the brand.
Do you want to hear her talk?
Yeah.
Do you want to hear her talking?
I thought we had
cars and bikes going meow, meow, meow all up and down the road. It had to stop. And children now are safe.
There's all the quad bikes. Quad bikes, sewing machines on wheels.
Quite simply, by picking up one of those and going like that. I have never seen
really
so many people.
Like, she's just got a crazy
tan line.
I thought she was naked.
And all it is.
Yeah, she's got strapless dress.
If they don't like it,
really
that's
burns
tough.
On the shoulders. But
I live here. My friends live here. My friends' children live here. And if we can't be safe in our own streets, how the hell are we going to be safe in the world?
Wow. So what were you saying there, sorry?
I was just saying that she's kind of dressed kind of... I mean, it's not even that she's dressed funny. It's just that from the angle I could see the laptop screen there, it kind of looked like she was naked, but she just had a top... how do you describe it?
It's like a strapless.
A strapless top, but she had like major tan lines on her shoulders from like a bikini or something. So it looked like she was just completely naked talking
to
the
camera. Yeah, until it panned down to the dress. Yeah. I did think they were blurring it out.
She had two angel wings tattooed on her shoulders. Did
she?
You see those? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I missed that.
That's great. Has anyone you know ever taken the law into their own hands in such a way, perhaps? Or
no, but my girlfriend has come close from time to time. To be fair, I have as well. Like,
it's not a competition.
Huh?
It's not a competition.
Not a competition. Not even when you're going out. No, at the minute, I live in a part of London where there's loads and loads and loads of cyclists. Like a crazy... basically just like there are cycle lanes in all directions. And, like, every day... And to be fair, like, it's every day when you walk across the street, someone is, because there's lots of one-way streets where I live, so at some point a cyclist will mount the pavement and cycle down the pavement. And if you're on your way to work and you're not really paying attention to what you're doing or checking your phone, sometimes they'll ride straight into you. And likewise, sometimes they will run through red lights or they'll go over zebra crossings when people are crossing. Sometimes they're not paying attention. Sometimes they're on their phone. And sometimes, like, if you're going for a run, for instance, they're not taking your pace into mind. And so sometimes people are just mounting the pavements, which is actually illegal. And my girlfriend in particular has to come up and has to do a lot because she's a big runner, and also she works just down the road, so she walks to work and nearly gets hit by a cyclist every single day. So now when she sees a cyclist that's on the pavement, she does just not hail abuse, but she does give them a reprimand as they're going, like, "Oh, you're on the pavement, are you? You're on the pavement. Good for you." As a sort of going past.
Ed, oh God, I'm sick of it, Ed.
What is it?
Oh God, slam. Oh, where's the sewing machine? Where's the sewing? Oh, it's
Jane,
in the cupboard,
calm
isn't
down.
It?
I'll what are
get
you doing?
I'm gonna make myself a costume, Ed.
Jane.
So I'm sewing furiously.
You're doing the panting again. The weird, like, sort of like descriptive.
Sorry,
panting.
Am I saying what I'm doing as
yeah,
I'm doing
you're
it?
Saying
I'm sorry,
what you're
I'm
doing.
Just sewing furiously over here.
Saying?
Oh God, I'm sewing myself a car costume. No, fuck it, a truck.
A
I'm
truck.
Gonna dress like I need 200 feet of white silk, please.
White silk.
Yes, I only wear the best. You know that, Ed.
Oh,
I'm sick of it, Ed.
All right, fine.
I'm sick of it.
Oh, Jane, calm down. All right, look, I'll get you your silk. Okay, I'm worried though. Okay, look, hang on.
I guess I need to. I haven't even explained what the hell.
Okay, look.
It was one of those cyclists again, Ed. Nearly hit me again on the pavement.
The cyclists?
Yes, you know, the ones on the mount the pavement. when there's a perfectly good cycling path on the road?
Well, look, I know that it's not technically legal, but, you know, you can't let that bother you just because they're being selfish.
No, but I've told the police, and they've said, oh, yeah, there's nothing we can do about it. They can mount the pavement, and I know it's illegal, but what can we do unless we have a policeman on every inch of the road? And I said, well, that's not good enough. I'm trying to get to work. I'm nearly had a collision. I nearly broke my shins, dear Ed.
Well, babe, like...
It's, and they won't do anything about it, so it's time that I did something! All right. I'm going to dress like a truck when I go to work. So when a cyclist looks up and sees a truck, they realise they made a fatal mistake.
You're literally going to dress up like a truck and walk...
Just on my way to work.
In the road? On the pavement?
On the pavement.
On the pavement?
Yes.
Okay.
See how they like it. You know, if you're going to cycle on the road, why don't I drive a lorry down the road, the pavement, huh?
Okay. Look, I'm going to support you. I'm going to support you, okay? I'm going to get you.
Sorry,
yourself.
You're a quarter American. Sidewalk.
Yes, okay, fine. I'm a quarter American. And yes, I have a complicated vocabulary, okay? But, okay, fine. I'm gonna get you silk. But I want you to know that there are ways of confronting this that doesn't necessarily resort to violence.
I'd like to see you do it. In fact, why don't I go sit on the balcony and you go show me how to confront those damn cyclists, huh, Ed? Ed, Mr. Genius, Ed can't be bothered to fetch me my silk.
I'm going
to
get you
go
your silk.
Go on! Get out there and show me how it's done!
I'm getting you your silk, Jane. Jesus Christ. Okay, look, I'm going to go get your silk and you can... Just watch. Just watch from the balcony. You can see how I confront a cyclist.
Okay.
Cut to the road.
Da, 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 da. I'm the best thing on the road.
Whoa! Okay! Excuse me, sir!
Whoa,
excuse me!
Whoa, what?
Look,
what?
I'm sorry to bother you, sir, like, but, you know, it's technically illegal to ride your bike on the pavement.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry. I just didn't know. Oh, my God. Oh, my... I could have hit you. I could have like, knocked over, like, a dog. Oh, my God. Okay, I didn't realize. I'm sorry.
It's okay, sir.
I'll never do it again.
Please, you don't have to cry. You really don't.
No, punish me.
Punish
you? I'd be bad. Is this citizen's arrest? Are you going to find me?
Why are you undoing your belt? No, look. I'm not spanking you, sir. Look, listen. I just don't want you to ride your bike on the pavement anymore.
Oh. You sure you don't want
to? A sewing machine lands on his head.
Jesus Christ! Oh my.
Take that! Fucking scum!
Jane, you fucking killed him!
There's another one coming at you, Ed! There's another one coming! I've got nothing left to throw in! I'm gonna do it!
What are you gonna do?
Run him home!
No!
Jane, no! Flying elbow to the cyclist! Blood!
Oh my God, there's so much blood! Oh my God, that was weirdly impressive that you've jumped off of a balcony and landed elbow first on this person.
Did I get him?
Yeah, he's dead. He is deader than dead. Jane, are you okay?
No.
Speak to me, Jane. Please.
I think I can see a bit of my brain. Can you see that too?
You've got a skull fracture.
And if I don't make it through this, I only need to know one thing. It was worth every second. I'm not afraid of anything. I'm not afraid of a cyclist. I'm not afraid of a truck. I'm not afraid of fire. And I'm a smoker.
God, that is so badass. Oh no, Jane. Jane!
Kiss me, Ed, one last time.
Oh, really? You've got your brain showing. It's really, really gross.
Kiss my brain.
Oh, there's blood all over you. I've got blood in my mouth.
Undo your trousers, please. Just one last
time. Stop, let go of me.
Oh, sorry, I'm delirious. I'm dying, Ed.
Yeah.
I'm dying.
God. Okay.
Oh, look, a cyclist.
Well, not another one.
No, he's coming straight for my head.
I love you, Jane. No! Not on my watch! No!
I'm gonna strangle you, you fuck! God, you killed her! You killed her!
You killed her! Oh, God! There's only one thing left to do. I must become the Night Trucker.
Do, do, do. Come into cinemas this fall. Dum, dum, dum. You thought the roads were safe. Dum, dum, dum. You thought the sidewalks were safe. Dum, dum, dum. You thought it would be fine to cross the law.
I'm just going to, I'm just going to jaywalk, which is a thing they do in America.
Not on my watch!
For 1 week only in a cinema near you. It is the Night Trucker. Trucker.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
You sing with me, kid, and I'll make you a star. Movies. Movies. Camera speed.
Movies.
Lights.
Movies.
Action.
A deep fix.
Movies.
Yes.
Oh. Sorry.
Every time I've been on that show since you've added that at the end, someone's tripped over it.
Yeah. Sorry, Sean Connery, I didn't. Have we all looked at his ass?
Yep, no, that's okay. Good.
All right. So this is Movies, where we take a subject that's come up during the show, and then I find a relevant movie, or we find a relevant movie, and then I read the synopsis of that movie, and we reenact that movie as best as we can. This is, I found a list of top 100 vigilante movies.
Mm-hmm.
Because vigilante. Of the hairdryer granny we spoke about earlier. I consider her a vigilante, I guess.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Just like the Night Trucker.
Yeah. Night Trucker. There we go, episode title.
yes.
So this is a movie from 1971 called Straw Dogs.
Mm. Good movie. Sorry, I had a mouthful of drink.
So you've seen this, huh?
Yes, I watched it many, many years ago. I can't really remember much of what happened.
Okay. Is this the Dustin Hoffman film?
Yeah, it That's got banned right. for years.
Oh, no, I studied it in uni because I did like a module on like banned films.
Oh, shit.
And vigilante
really?
Films.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, look at that. I've picked the right subject and the right film. Well, this is great. Yes, it's... What?
It's going to be a seamless recreation.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Exactly. We've all seen it. We all remember it.
Yes. This is, it stars Dustin Hoffman, as you said, and Susan George. Written by David Zelag Goodman and Sam Peckinpah. Directed by Sam Peckinpah. I'm only saying those names now so I can apologise for what we're about to do to your movie. I'm going to read the synopsis, and then as soon as I'm done reading the synopsis, you guys can feel free to start the movie. Upon moving to Britain to get away from American violence, astrophysicist David Sumner and his wife Amy are bullied and taken advantage of by the locals hired to do construction. When David finally takes a stand, it escalates quickly into a bloody battle as the locals assault his house. That is, upon moving to Britain to get away from American violence, astrophysicist David Sumner and his wife Amy are bullied and taken advantage of by the locals hired to do construction. David finally takes a stand and it escalates quickly into bloody battle. Locals assault his house. Take it away, Straw Dogs.
Hey, darling. I don't want to complain or anything because I'm just a I'm just an astrophysicist. But I really feel like the guys we got working on the roof they're giving me a real weird look here. Just like have you noticed that? Are they looking funny at all of us, or is it just because me? I know I'm paranoid. It's just I spent so long looking at astrophysicists.
I'm not entirely sure what you mean, darling. I think they're incredibly charming guys. Actually, he's been looking at me, but I thought that's just an English thing, isn't it? They just... I don't know how these English people operate, darling.
I don't know. I mean, like, when you said move to Cornwall, I just, like, I thought, you know... you know,
well, we're American. We like two things: corn and walls.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
I know.
So where else are we gonna move?
I thought where we find more corn and more walls. Mm. And I thought, you know, I thought where are you gonna get a clearer night sky than out in the countryside in the United Kingdom? But I'm telling you, they're looking at
Darling,
you weird.
I know. Looking at I you know weird. You're a book guy. You like your books. You're not really a people guy. So you know. I'm going to go up on the roof. I'll have a word with one of them.
Okay.
And see if they have any ill feelings towards us. I'm sure everything's absolutely fine, darling. Get back to your
Afro-Shizimitz
studies, okay?
All right, I'm going to look at them. Okay.
Okay, I'll head up there now. Hello, I've brought a cup of tea up. Hello?
Hey!
You're right, Loaf.
Hey! Get them out for the lads!
What, the sugar?
Yeah.
Okay, how many sugars
get
do you
like? Get your sugar out for the lads.
Get your lumps.
Get your lumps. Sugar lumps.
Two lumps. Shake the lumps.
Okay, yeah, we've got them. How many do you like, boys? I'll just
two lumps.
Two lumps.
Okay, you want two lumps?
Bit of milk.
Get some milk.
Well, yep. How are you fine young Cornwallians doing up here? Are you having a good day? Is the sun too hard on you guys?
No, we're used to it.
I don't know, sun's pretty hard on me, not like when I was up north.
Okay, I'm not sure. That must be a local reference. I'm new to the area.
Yeah, the local pub is called Up North.
Oh.
Yeah, what he means is, basically, he is hard.
Oh, hello.
Hello there. He is hard as a result of sitting in the sun, and you being here with your sugar and your lumps is making him feel better.
Oh, well, I'm glad I could help you feel better. Now, you might know this, but my husband works from home, and he's been studying away in his office down there, in his bureau. And
oh, yeah, we've seen him.
He, he's an astrophysicist.
He wanted to know that you guys, if you guys are doing okay and that you have no problems with this job you've been given or anything.
Oh, not wrong with that.
Job's great.
We're building your roof, and you know, replacing your slate.
Yes, you've been working on the roof, but you've been spending a surprising amount of time outside of the window of his bureau.
Well, I can't help it, can you? I mean, he's such a shy lad. You know, he's sitting there looking at his maps, and
yeah,
you know, he's sitting there and he's just drinking his
astral,
his coffee.
They're astral charts, actually.
They're what? Sorry,
astral.
You got a chart of someone's ass. Astral.
Ass charts.
Now, ass charts.
We got ass charts down here. I'll do a chart.
If you're going to bring the tone down to this level, I'll make my way downstairs.
Oh, you can go downstairs if you like, love.
Yeah, with your lumps and your milk.
Oh, yeah, with your lump and your milk downstairs.
Oh,
yeah.
I have forgotten the milk. You're absolutely right. I forgot that you English folk like to put milk in your teas.
Yeah, out of jugs.
I'll go fetch that and I'll be right back. Okay, boys.
Great.
All right.
And if you get some ass charts, bring them up.
You want to have a look at one of his charts? I'll ask him if he has one spare. Go ahead. I'll be right back. Thanks, guys.
Do you think she understands that we're sexually harassing her?
Nope.
Darling.
Yes, dear?
I'm back.
How did it go up there?
I think it went okay. They made a few jokes that I didn't quite understand. But I fetched them teas and I took them up some milk. I forgot that English people like milk. But they were also wondering if maybe they could have a peek at one of your astral charts.
Sure. I mean, maybe that's just maybe this could be like an olive branch. Okay, I see.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Maybe it's an olive branch.
Yeah, like a sort of a peace treaty. Okay. Let me. You can. Here's the Big Dipper. And the Little Dipper, just above Taurus.
Okay.
I'll
take that up to them. Okay, thanks, darling.
Okay.
Before I go, one more thing.
Yeah?
Is there anything funny about sugar lumps?
No, it's just I have sugar in my coffee.
I have sugar in my coffee?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just what I thought, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a sweetener, right? I mean, unless they want, I don't know, that sweet and low stuff, but, you know.
No, but they all got terribly excited when I got the sugar out, and they kept asking me to get out my sugar lumps, and...
Oh, is that right? Well, maybe I'll just... I tell you what, maybe I'll come stand at the foot of the ladder and I'll just watch, see if there's anything untoward happening.
Darling, it's time you fucking grew some hair on your chest. And I say this out of love. I want you to try something. Ever since we've moved here to Cornwall, you've been locked up in your office, dear. I want you to go out and try this social interaction thing.
Okay.
Why don't we head to the up north tonight?
Up north?
There's a local pub.
Oh, right.
Called the Up North.
Oh, like a bar. Okay, yeah. Sure. Okay.
Why don't you go up, take these maps up to those workers, and ask them if they're heading to the pub tonight. Maybe we can make an event of it.
Oh,
I want you to get out there, dear, and socialize a bit more.
Okay, sure. I mean, you know, nothing to be afraid of. They're just good old salt-of-the-earth blue-collar guys,
that's
right?
That's all they are.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my father was a plumber. I mean, I can converse with these guys, sure.
And, dear, they can't be that threatening. Like, I saw one of them chewing on a chocolate condom. I don't know how much harm he could possibly do with that few brain cells.
Well, that's just dangerous.
He said he liked the flavor.
Okay, I'm fine.
He was going to spit it out. He kept insisting.
Listen, all right, I'll do it, all right? Okay, just give me a minute. Okay.
Here, take the Big Dipper with you.
I got the chart and I've got the tea. Okay.
No, they've got tea, dear.
They've
it's
got
good.
Tea.
Yeah.
Oh, fine. Okay. Okay, I'll just go up there now.
Ask them, baby, ask them if they enjoyed the tea.
All right.
That's a good opening point.
Thanks for the tip, honey.
Okay dear. You know I'm the social one.
I know. I'm totally inept at these
things. Okay, I'll stay in here.
Okay, here we go. Hey, fellas.
What, Governor?
How are you doing?
You right there?
Hey, look who's up here.
You finally left that little box of yours. Ooh,
oh, yeah. He's finally left his desk. Oh, look at him and his little bookworm.
Yeah.
Very funny, fellas. Very funny. Okay. I understand you guys wanted to see some...
Us?
Your ass charts.
My what?
Yeah, that's what your wife called them. She called them her ass charts.
Ass charts.
You want to see my ass charts? Listen, fellas.
He said it.
I was under the impression you guys wanted to have a look at my astral charts, at my star charts.
Yeah, that's what we were saying, mate.
We want to look at your star.
Yeah, give us it.
Careful with those. They're very expensive.
Let's have a look.
Listen, stop being so rough. That's
what's
not
this
right.
One then? What's this all?
Oh, that's the big
looks
dipper.
Looks like my teenage daughter's face.
My acne is a very serious condition, sir. Now, you see there? That's the big dipper. Or,
the big what?
The Big Dipper.
What?
You said Big Dipper.
I've got a Big Dipper.
Yeah, I'll give your wife my Big Dipper.
roll it up. Hold it against my crotch. Look at my Big Dipper.
Now, sir, please, sir. Come on now. Now, listen. I'm sorry. We've got enough on the run. Foot. I wanted to invite you all to up north. I understand you go this far. Oh, is he up north? He wants to go up north, is he?
Yeah, he does.
I think you should go downstairs. do you really want me to go downstairs?
You're what, mate? Yeah, what were you saying? What were you saying?
Oh, so I just wanted to buy you fellas a beer, maybe at the local bar.
It's called a pub, mate.
Yeah.
You call it a boozer if you like.
The local boozer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I would like to buy you a beer at the local boozer, if that's quite all right with you gentlemen.
Yeah, sounds all right.
Yeah.
Sounds all right.
Sounds great.
Cut to the boozer.
So you were saying, this Big Dipper, it just sits there in the sky all the time, whether we like it to or not? Like,
yeah, it just sits in the sky, you know, it's looking down on us. God, these drinks are stronger than I thought. Yes, it's like, you know, it's like... It's kind of like having a shovel above your head at all times. And, you know, you're just thinking, one day, that shovel's going to drop. Yeah. And there's nothing you could do about it.
I know exactly what you mean.
I tell you what, this man is fucking depressing. He is a blue fucking drunk.
Dear, I think you might have had... Oh. Darling,
what is it, honey?
I think you might be a little drunk.
What, drunk me? I was just...
Are you okay?
I just had some of these beverages, and sure. It would be so much easier to talk to you if you'd stop running around the room.
Darling, I'm over here. Where are you looking? I'm right here.
Why do you want to tell the room to stop?
Look, dear, I thought we were going to come out and have a civilized evening. You can't even have a civilized social interaction without getting blind drunk.
I'm just going to go to
sleep. I'll see you at home, all right? I can't stand this. Gentlemen, I'm so sorry to have
hang
to leave
look,
early.
I'm on my way too. I'll walk you home, shall I?
That would be lovely. Thank you. And she walks off arm in arm with the builders. They leave behind Dustin Hoffman getting drowsier and drowsier at his desk.
Oh, are you?
You enjoyed your drinks tonight, mate.
Well, yeah, I did. I mean, a little stronger than I thought, but
yeah.
I'll be honest, I enjoyed him.
Well, good. Well, if you got a little headache, this nap will help you with it. You'll wake up feeling fresh as a daisy.
Well, listen, you don't tell me what to do. And, you know.
Sleep.
Well, fine.
Sleep. He wakes up strapped to his own roof.
The sun is just beaming down in his eyes.
It's so hot. What is going on here? What? Listen.
In the kitchen.
Oh, you guys are so funny.
Thanks
for showing me how to make tea properly.
Honey? Oh, that's what some people call it. I just call it a good ramen.
Do you hear something? Do you guys hear something?
I don't hear nothing. What?
No.
Honey?
No, that's my dear husband. Hello, where are you? You haven't come home all night.
I'm on the roof.
What?
I'm on the roof.
What are you doing up there?
I don't know. I woke up this way. I think the builders put me here.
We didn't touch him, love.
Yeah, we can't carry him.
Yeah, exactly. He's a big old fella. He's American, right?
Don't worry, he doesn't know how to handle his alcohol.
How do you guys get me down?
Would you guys mind going and helping him down?
Oh, no, right, no problem with that.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, we can do that.
Thanks, boys.
Cut to the roof. All the builders have climbed onto the roof and are climbing over to Dustin Hoffman.
You had a good night, fella. Jim, you had a good night.
Good nap.
Listen, fellas, I don't want to accuse you of nothing, but I don't see how anybody else could have tied me to this roof. And you got me drunk, you put me on the roof, you're down in there in the kitchen with my wife.
You shut your fucking trap, mate.
Sir, that information is quite untoward. Are you challenging...
Shut the fuck up.
That language, sir.
Now listen.
That's how we all speak here.
That bit of tortie you got downstairs, she does good things. She brings us tea, she's sociable. And she's good to look at. You on the other hand, all you're doing is holding her down.
She deserves to be with one of us.
Yeah, she deserves a real English husband.
Well, gentlemen, I don't really... Well, no. No, you know what? I'm not taking this no more. Look, now, do you listen here? You untie me and let me go. Or otherwise, I'm going to get seriously angry. I'm going to get real angry. I mean it. Because you listen...
All of a sudden, the veins start bulging in Dustin Hoffman's head. And start bulging in his neck.
You're
and his
in
muscles.
No position to make demands here, Sonny Jim.
Yeah, don't make me angry.
You yeah, like... what are you going to do, mate?
You so like...
What are you going to do? His hand breaks free, and he grabs a nearby nail gun. Oi! Put that down. You wouldn't know what to do with it anyway, Mr. Astral Physics.
Fuck you bastard!
Fires a nail straight into the eyeball of the builder.
Tumble.
How do you like that, you fuck? I own you, you fuck! I pay you, you fuck! What are you guys looking at?
Oh, nothing, sir.
No.
You
no,
are? Yeah? Is that what you think?
One of the roofmen reaches as they're going, no, he reaches behind him for a shovel, and he's about to swing it up over his head at Dustin Hoffman.
Dustin Hoffman brings the nail gun straight into the balls of the guy.
Oh!
And then grabs the shovel, takes it, and clouts him around the head.
Ah!
It goes rolling down.
Tumble, drop.
Lands straight on the stone slabs of his porch. Right, you motherfucker. What about you? You got anything in you? You want to do anything?
No, I've just got like a condom that's chocolate.
Fuck you!
And he just grabs him by the head, Dustin off and leaps at him like a cat. Grabs both hands around his skull, starts pushing his thumbs into his eyes. And blood starts spurting everywhere.
This is what you get when you fuck with a New Yorker, you fuck!
Yeah!
Fuck you! I'm walking here! She's my wife!
3 days later. Darling, those guys did such a great job on the roof. It's completely perfect. It's as good as ever. But where have you been for the last 2 days? I haven't seen you.
I've been tending to the garden, my dear.
Oh, we have such great... we have such great land here. We've got so many acres, don't we?
Yeah. Well, the tomato patch is just needed fertilizing, so I added some fertilizer to the tomato patch.
Okay. And I see those builders built a telescope into the roof. You must have enjoyed that.
Yeah. I thought, telescope in the roof. It was a nice gift. It was It was real good. Do you like it?
Or? I love it, and I love the garden, and I love you.
I love you, too.
You're going to have a perfect life here in Cornwall.
It's pronounced Cornwall, you bitch! I'm from New York!
And his tomatoes were the biggest, ripest tomatoes of the whole of the area, and he won the award for best Cornwall tomatoes. But he always knew why they were so good, and he was never able to recreate. So he lost his trophy the next year, and then he killed himself.
When will he heal? When will he heal?
Yes, Brendan! Wow. When will he heal?
When will any of us heal?
That's great. That's great. Okay, fudge. Okay, we've got 15 minutes left. Shall we just do one more?
Another movie?
No, not another movie. Shall we do another segment?
Sure, another segment.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, let's play. Whose round is it anyway?
Now, whose round is it anyway? It's certainly mine, because I got the last one, so get out of line.
Well, it's certainly mine, you fucking wanker. You might as well be a fucking banker.
Oh, leave it out, mate. It was my round last. I got the one, and that's my glass.
Hey, leave it out. You're mine. You've got a round of the Wetherspoons, so that's bloody cheaper than this place, you arsehole.
Yeah, it's time for whose round is it anyway. It's been yonks since we've played this. So I'm going to try and remember how it's done. But basically, it's like a La Ronde. So we get a location, and basically we stay within that location, and one of us begins with a monologue. The person to their left then enters the scene. They have a two-person scene, and then person one leaves, leaving person two to do a monologue. Character two, rather. And then character three will enter the scene with character two. They have a scene. Character two buggers off. Character three has a monologue. And I guess it carries on like that. And it will end with whoever did the opening monologue doing a closing monologue. Okay. Perhaps, Ed, would you mind kicking us off with this one?
Yeah, sure.
Is that good? Yeah? Okay, our location is... Actually, no, Brendan, you start off.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Ed's been on the show way more times than you. I want Brendan to kick us off. So someone say stop for a location.
Stop.
Our location is an abandoned house. An abandoned house. Not sure who would be there. I guess it's up to you to decide who the first person is in this abandoned house. Brendan, whenever you're ready, go ahead and give us an opening monologue.
Ooh. It's been a long time since I've had visitors. I remember when I used to live in this house as a human. I'm obviously still a human, but now I'm a ghost human. There's so many rooms, all of them unoccupied. I spend my days going from room to room, but they will never all be occupied simultaneously, and that makes me sad. It makes me boo. If only there was someone who would laugh at that joke.
Oh, wow. There's a chill in this room.
Hello.
Wow, my God. My word! Who said that?
I am all around you, but specifically in front of you.
Oh, my! I thought that was a mist. Fuck me! Are you a ghost?
Yes. Whoa. Hi! Ding, ding, ding! I'm a ghost.
Wow! Oh wow! Where did you get that bell from?
Just I used to have servants and butlers.
Wow! Oh my God! Wait, so you're a ghost from like a time past? Well, I suppose there had to be a past if you're a ghost.
Oh, time is past, except for the present.
Sorry, I don't know why I'm laughing. I thought it was like I'm just amazed. I can't believe I'm talking to a ghost.
Yes. Are you coming to stay? Are you my new tenant?
I've just bought the lease on this place. Yeah, I'm. Ooh, this is. I've just. So day one.
Day one, I've got a ghost.
Yes. Great. Yes, they'll never be lonely, whoever takes this place over.
Oh my God. Also, no privacy. Zero privacy.
Hey, hey, if we could get like a rota of when they're in or have company, I'm willing to just stay in the attic.
So we have to... I can't just trust you not to walk in on me in the shower. There has to be a rota.
I mean, I can go in the shower if you want.
Look, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, like, I need.
I don't need a shower, so I'd never be in the bathroom.
Well, no, but that's the thing. You're not just gonna.
If I heard the shower, I wouldn't go in because obviously I know that means the shower's on.
Okay, good. I don't want to think you.
I'm not stupid just because I'm dead.
You know what? I wasn't even suggesting you were stupid. I just didn't like the idea that like some old ghost would walk in on me when I'm in the shower.
Old, like, how dare you? You don't know what time past I'm from.
No, I don't. It's true. Like,
and when I die, I'm that age forever.
I get this is true. Like, I mean, you know, you look like sort of a fairly young. I mean, what are you in your 30s, 40s? Like,
yes, I'm 45.
45. I mean, depending on what time you died, that's probably like a ripe old age.
It was pretty good.
Well, nice. Okay. Well, you had a good life then.
Yeah.
Had some unfinished business apparently, but.
No, I mean, you complimenting me means I guess I can move on.
Really? Already?
Yeah, people have acknowledged me.
Oh my God.
Maybe if I'm eligible and handsome, maybe for a ghost I can find other ghosts.
Wow. Wait, you want to date other ghosts? Is that that's a thing for ghosts?
Yes, well, we've got eternity.
I didn't even know that about the afterlife. And now apparently, A, ghosts exist, which... presumably means B, an afterlife exists, and now also ghosts go out with each other.
Of course, there has to be people. It's not all haunting.
No. Well, I'm just glad you're not. It's not all just staring at people in the shower. I don't know why I presume that was what you did, by the way.
It says more about you than it does me.
This is true.
I'm off to go find a date.
Okay, fine. Why did I think he was going to walk in on me in the shower? I mean, don't get me wrong, I didn't want him to walk in on me in the shower. I didn't, you know. But did I want him to walk in on me in the shower? I mean, chances are you meet a person on the street, they've got some sort of kink. I just never really thought that would be my kink. Is that my kink? Fuck, maybe I've got a kink. Who thought I had a kink? I thought I was like the most boring person in the world. I never thought I'd have a kink. Maybe I do want him to walk in on me in the shower. Is that like an exhibitionist thing? I mean... I didn't even think I was gay. I mean, maybe it's not a thing about gender. Maybe it's not a thing about anything in particular. Maybe I just want someone to watch me.
Daddy! Daddy! Where are you?
Oh, Jeremy, come in.
Daddy, the garden is so big, Daddy! Yeah,
the garden's beautiful,
the
isn't
garden's
it, my dear?
The garden's huge!
Yeah. No,
there's so many big bugs in there!
Yeah, there are lots of big bugs. You've got to be careful, because some of those bugs, you know, they might sting you or bite you or something like
what?
That.
Well, I thought that was just in, like, Australia, where the bugs bite.
What if they
you
bite?
Always told me bugs here were fine.
Bugs are fine here. It's just I know what your habits are like. You know, you love to. Yeah, you love to eat bugs. It's incorrigible, little scamp.
Yeah, I know. Dad, this place is great. I love this place. I can't wait to move in.
Yeah, that's right. And I can't wait. Can't wait to move to live with you in this house.
Have you picked a room yet?
I've only just got through the door and I got distracted by something.
What?
Nothing. It's nothing. It's
By the really dusty TV over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, the really dusty TV. Exactly. The dusty TV came on.
How are you going to see the movements if there's so much dust on the screen?
Exactly. We'll clean the clean the TV up. I promise. Okay. I tell you what. I'm just gonna tidy up your. I'm just going to tidy up your room.
You've picked my room.
I thought maybe you could have the room overlooking the garden because you love the garden.
Oh, that's great.
You love the garden, don't you?
Yeah, it's really good. There's a big bush in it. And in the bush, I found a dead cat.
You want to find a dead cat?
I found a dead cat in the bush.
You've already found a dead cat.
Yeah, it was dead and it was full of bugs.
Oh, God.
They were really tasty, though, I think the cat kept them fresh.
God damn it, have you been eating maggots again?
Oh, that what they're called, yeah, maggots.
I can't believe this. They are not, I know you like them because they look like white Skittles, but you can't Just, this is
not
good.
They look like white Skittles, but they taste like risotto.
Jeremy, this is not good. What? You're not meant to be doing this.
Well, I'm fine, Dad. I'm building up my immunity.
Your immunity to what?
To everything.
Jesus, you
cannot.
I'm going
to be the strongest.
If next time you see me, next time you see a cat, you tell me, okay? And I'm going to get rid of it safely, respectfully, because that thing was alive.
It's in the bush outside.
Okay, I'm going to go and...
Go get... Dip what?
I'm going to go tidy it up, all right? And I want you to sit in here and think about what you've done.
Okay.
Because that was messed up.
Whatever, Dad. All right, I'm sorry, but I'm sorry.
Okay, I accept your apology.
Sorry, Dad. What? Wait, what am I sorry for?
I want you to be sorry for eating maggots and desecrating a cat.
No, the maggots desecrated the cat already, Dad.
Well, you didn't help, did you? Eating maggots out of the poor thing. What's the matter with you? Anyway, listen, you and me are going to have a talk about this later.
All right, Dad.
I'm going to be back in just a minute, okay?
All right, pal. All right.
Now, listen. Listen to me, Boy Scout.
Yes?
I love you.
Oh, I love you.
Okay.
All right.
Back in a minute.
Okay. Yeah. Hmm. Okay. You said stay in here, but that's boring, obviously. I'm going to go look around. Then go see. Oh, it's a big hallway. Wow, this is going to be so much fun. I'm going to have a set up a tent in the hallway here. I think it's big enough. Me and my friends can sit here. And then, oh, what's up these stairs? Go up. Oh, an attic. My old house never had an attic. We just had that little cupboard. And the cupboard had that smell. I wonder if this attic smells. Oh. Okay, I just pull this rope, I guess. Clink, clunk, clunk, clunk. Oh, a ladder. Oh, okay, I'm gonna go up this ladder into the attic. I bet it's really spooky and creepy in there. I wonder if I'll see any bugs to eat. Big, juicy bug, or maybe bug with a hard shell on it, and it goes crack, and then I eat it, and it gets stuck in my teeth, and my dad is like, did you get pumpkin seeds stuck in your teeth again? I'll just say yes, but really they're just a shell of a bug, like a beetle stuck in it. Oh, webs, okay. Oh, a little box. Oh, what's in here? I bet it's got toys in it. Oh, it's an old book. It's your very dusty book. It's a diary. A diary of Anthony Phillips, the third Esquire. Oh, it's very dusty. Dear diary.
Whoa, don't read that. Don't read that. No. No, it's terribly embarrassing.
Who are you?
Oh, you're not the man I spoke to.
Are you a ghost?
Yes. Oh, well, there's ding, ding, ding.
Oh, you actually said ding, ding. I have so many questions. I've been preparing for this all my life. I've always wanted to meet a ghost. All right. Do you wee?
No.
Ghosts wee?
No.
No. Okay. When you eat a food, does it fall out your bum straight away?
We don't eat food.
Oh, you don't even bother?
No.
Okay. Are the clothes you're wearing, are they always on or can you change your clothes?
No, we have to wear them forever.
Okay. And all that... Wait, you're not as white. I thought you were going to be like a white, really pale white, but you're more kind of just like transparent-y. So I guess that question doesn't count. But when people walk through you, does it feel nice?
No, actually, it hurts. Not only because it's like them passing through, it's also because they ignored you, which hurts inside my heart.
Does that give you mental scarring?
Yes.
Oh, when will it heal?
Well, never. I can't heal. I'm stuck in this state. I'm stuck in these clothes.
Wait. Are you Anthony Phillips the Third Esquire?
Yes. Don't read the diary.
Why? What happens if I read it? Will it awaken something? Will you become a real boy? Will you become a nightmare for me and be in my dreams? Will that mean that you will disappear forever and ever? Will it bring about the mummies?
No, it will just make me terribly embarrassed.
Oh, that is funny. Oh, it says here, your dad, my dad today gave me a tallying off. I came into work on my first day at the factory and I broke one of the machines. And Dad slapped me in front of all the workers and told me I was a stupid nincompoop and I couldn't work here anymore. And then I found a
board game buried. And which I... Wait a second, this is the proper plot of the film Jumanji!
Yes, yes, it's half teenage angst and half what I was watching on TV. It's like to trick any people who would read the diary.
There's a ghost in my house. I'm about to move into a house with a ghost in it. I'm the luckiest boy. I have to go tell Daddy.
He already knows.
You've met my daddy?
Yes.
He's nice, isn't he? You yes. know he's really strong.
Yes.
He could pick up a whole sewing machine in one arm.
Wow, that's very cool.
He is cool. We're going to be the happiest family ever. Are you going to replace my mother?
Well, no, actually I was going to find my own replacement for my girlfriend.
Oh, what's a girlfriend?
It's a friend who's a girl that you hold hands and kiss.
Oh, my dad used to have one of those. That was my mum.
Right. She may be a ghost.
Oh, she could be a ghost now. Do you think you could find out? I've got a locket of her hair in my bag downstairs. If I brought you a locket of her hair, could you find her in the underworld or the secret cosmic realm or wherever it is you live?
Yes, of course.
It works like that?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Oh. You go fetch that.
And maybe Mum could be your new girlfriend and my dad's girl. I'm going to be like that. Really progressive sitcom on Comedy Central that got cancelled. Threesome. With three parents. Yes! And one of them's going to be a ghost! Everyone at school's going to be so jealous! Ah! I'm going to get the hair for you now. I'll be right back. Sprint!
What should I really tear this family apart? Do I really want a Three's Company type situation? If I take the wife, will that... I can never return if I find the wife and make her my wife. Wait, is she technically... Till death do us part, she's definitely up for grabs. She could be my... Oh, if only someone here to hear me say it. My ghoul friend.
All right, I had to spin the show. Well done, everybody. Fucking A, thank you so much. It's been great. Thanks for coming down. Brendan, wait, any plugs, my friend?
Yes, The Parentheticals, the improv group I'm in, have a yes. website now, theparentheticals.co.uk.
Yay!
Look us up for our latest gigs.
You might still be, I think, at the very least, tied first for most recurring guests, and it's about time we get them back, and they are coming back very soon.
Yeah, they're coming back in July.
Parentheticals, back on the Lil Show. It's happening, people.
Yeah.
Yes, please, I fully endorse and support The Parentheticals. Go find them on Facebook, Twitter, and go see their shows. Dead Drunk Detective, fucking hilarious show, man.
Thank you.
Really well written, joke after joke after joke. If you don't like one, in the next 5 seconds there'll be another joke that you will love. So, and it's full of monsters and zombies and crime and alcohol. I don't think apart from my show anything can really compete with that. So check out Dead Drunk Detective, it's awesome. Edmund Farga.
Check out podcastadventures.com where you will find episodes of Dead Drunk Detective,
uh-huh.
As well as episodes of the other podcasts on our network, including Sketch Please, which is our open source comedy sketch podcast where you can write a sketch, send it in to us, and or you can volunteer to be a performer and record it with us.
And I am going to write your sketch very soon, I promise.
Yeah, yeah, whatever. You've been saying that for months, brother.
Mm.
But you can send one in whenever. Seriously, though.
Well, I've never written a sketch, but I'll do it.
Yeah, write one, send it in.
You know it'll be cold.
I've
been on your show. I've been on Sketch Please.
Been on Sketch Please. You were also on Ed and Friends, episodes of on that as well.
Which since then you'll be glad to know I'm fully alcoholic and smoking again.
Oh, cool! This is an update of the episode. We didn't really get those.
So all the progress that Talal made by the time he was on Ed and Friends in the bin.
Yeah, I was in the middle of my sobriety, my teetotalness on that show. Have me back, and I've got a lot more to tell you, man. There's very little I actually say about my own life on this show, so I'd love to come back. That was really good fun, and I love. Yeah, all the shows on your network. Please thank check you, out podcastadventures.com. It's a great place to get going into English podcasts.
I repeat,
and comedy
the Earwolf of London.
Yes.
The Earwolf of London.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. Apart from Podnose, of course, which is the network our podcast is on, head to podnose.co.uk for amazing UK improv, a comedy
and science and education and politics, podcasts, music. Lots of great stuff on there, podnose.co.uk. Very happy to be invited onto their network and expand the network. Basically, we're just expanding our world by getting connected with more people. It means that future podcast episodes will have a wider group of... I'm talking to you, Ed. Basically, if you want to have a look at their website.
Sure.
If there's anyone there that you would like to interview or have on one of your shows.
Okay.
You are now affiliated through me.
Yeah.
So please get in touch and we'll make some love happen.
And it's all about appearing on each other's shows and helping each other out, yeah. I think, as well. Like
cross-pollination, baby.
Totally. I'll give Pondos a look. And also, check out the Destination podcast. I recorded a couple of episodes with them.
Nice.
That have aired recently in the past sort of 3 weeks or so. I'm mega chuffed with them. We had a grand old time.
Great stuff. Please go to thelilshow.com. All our links are there, including our Patreon, our Twitter, our YouTube. Big ups. Go to my YouTube channel, Talal Karkuti. I've put some new stand-up material up on there. This is Louis Primo, Just a Gigolo. It's been a great show, guys. Thank you so much. See you next time on The Lil Show here on k2kradio.com. I'm Talal Karkuti. Lil Show out. Peace.
Thank you.
Paid for every dance, selling his romance. Oh, at the sin. There will come a day, and youth will pass away. What will they say about me when the end comes? I know they'll adjust to gigolos. Life goes on without me, and just a gigolo everywhere I go. People know the part I'm playing.
You're listening to
K2K Radio.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.